This is the DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg podcast.
I'm a big star, you know.
Listen live weekday mornings from 5 to 8 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play ESPN New York 98.7.
DCR.
The NHL, in fact, played a game for a few minutes last night.
3-2-1, the horn will sound, and the New York Islanders have suffered their worst playoff defeat in franchise history.
And I think we all know why it got out of hand, because Rick DiPietro is a bad guy. Until that profile picture comes down, I'm taking huge shots at you. Islanders lose 8-0, then I put the photo out of you, gaunt Rick DiPietro, and it's not going to stop there, and it's probably going to lead to another Islanders loss.
So I'm looking through Twitter this morning, and it gets liked by Linda Cohn.
Yeah.
Elko.
This is DCR.
No excuses, play a champion. It's DiPietro, Canty, Rothenberg, and
there's a storm coming. Go Lightning.
On 98.7 ESPN.
On 98.7 ESPN.
How prophetic was that? Who realized the storm would be that intense, though? Time now for Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. You know, I'm fascinated with the photo that I put up on Twitter of you last night. The sickly-looking Rick DiPietro. Have you ever seen the movie Into the Wild?
Yeah, I've seen the movie Into the Wild.
It's a great movie, isn't it?
It's a terrific movie.
Emil Hirsch, when the kid just goes into the wilderness of Alaska and doesn't eat for months and has like berries and looks sickly, and at the end they're like, he couldn't even fit into his clothes. That's what the photo of you looks like that I put on Twitter last night.
Am I wrong for not having any idea what movie you guys are talking about?
Like, it's no clue? Great movie.
Oh, you've never seen Into the Wild?
Never seen it.
No, that's a good film.
It's sensational.
Treat yourself.
It's a kid, and the future wife will love it as well. It's a kid who goes to, true story, by the way. I think he goes to Emory and just decides, you know what? I'm going off the grid. I'm going off the map. I'm done. And he makes his way out west, and he winds up in this completely barren area in Alaska living all by himself for months and finally decides, all right, you know what? I'm done. Let's get back to real life. And it's terrific. Really, a great movie.
So it's kind of like you after Giants losses, huh? Just going off the grid, disappearing.
Yeah, but he takes it even further than I do.
Okay.
Like he winds up on an abandoned bus with no one for hundreds of miles around him.
Yeah, I don't know if there's anything that would ever lead me to making that kind of decision.
But it's really good.
It's a good movie?
Story.
Okay.
It's excellent, excellent. All but right. Anyway, when the guy doesn't eat for months, he looks like Rick does in this photo that I put on Twitter.
Yesterday. Gotcha. Okay, that's where that comes from.
That's
okay.
Exactly where
it
comes
I may have taken it a little far. I mean, the doctor said the more weight you lose, the better it'll be for your knee. I may have went a little bit overboard.
Then I'll have no weight? Is that what you said to him?
Yeah.
Doc, I will take it all off?
Yeah, I'll be waif thin.
I'm gonna go
Calista Flockhart. How's that sound? That good? No. Terrible idea. Speaking of, what loss, Dave? Give me one Giants loss that would force you into the wild. Like a 5-star hotel for 2 days.
That Eagles loss with the punt return, that still bothers me, that game. Because I think they were up 31-10, right, Chris?
Yeah.
Look at Chris. He can't even look. His hand is over his head. In the fourth quarter, they were up 31-10.
I just don't understand, though, with Matt Dodge on that last play. Like, why punt it to DeSean Jackson? Like, you could have done anything else. Punt it out of bounds. I mean, I don't, anything else. Even if you don't get the punt off, that would have been better than what you did, which is a line drive punt straight to the guy. I don't know.
The one thing
that he couldn't do, he ended up doing, Dave. I still don't understand that.
It still doesn't make any sense to me. They told him before the punt, whatever you do, do not punt it to DeSean Jackson. You could have had a 30-yard punt, out of bounds, fine. That to me was awful. That was one of the worst losses I've ever experienced.
Yeah, and you could tell halfway through the play, DeSean Jackson was going to house it. Like, you could tell, like, he bobbled it. Picked it back up. He broke the first wave. And then all you see on the sideline is Tom Coughlin slamming the clipboard because you knew what time it was.
I thought he was going to kill Matt Dodge.
I think he really, really wanted to, Dave. You should have seen how red his face was.
Like, it
was.
Oh, my God.
I don't think I've ever seen Coach that mad before. I think that was probably the moment I was like, ah. Like, I mean, it's just this. That was one of those things that was inexcusable, Dave. It's not like he didn't know. They told him, don't do this. And he did it. The one thing that could cause us to get our asses beat. And he did it.
The only thing. The absolute only thing. But last night's got to be, it's got to be one of those wilderness nights for you, no, Rick? That if you were forced into the wilderness after a loss, it would be a game like last night?
I considered it, yeah. It's a brief moment. I'd go sleep outside. And I was like, nah.
No. I don't think you would do. You're not
with the raccoons.
Kind of guy, right?
No, I got a coyote on the loose. I can't. There's no way. I can't do that.
I mean, there's raccoons in your neighborhood, chipmunks, squirrels, hawks. You know,
lots of chipmunks. Well, you know the chipmunk. Me and the chipmunk. God, there's so many things I could buy right now to attack you with. I had the chipmunk living in the garage for a little bit.
That's warm. Nice.
Yeah, it was warm. Extra fridge. He had a nice little setup in Milo's tractor. Made a little nest for himself. He's back, though. I saw he's got a buddy, too, now. It's two of them.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah.
Alvin and another guy, huh?
Yeah, and Theodore. I don't know if it's Theodore or Simon. I don't know who it is. But there's two now. Yeah, I don't... The whole... Like, the kids want to go camping. I think I would do it for them, but I'm just not... Sleeping outdoors is not...
Yeah, I'm not a camping guy either. I don't understand the attraction of that. Much prefer a nice, soft hotel bed. All right. Sean Marks, yesterday, addressed the media. Big question. We talked about it. We'll get into it again. 800-919-3776. Was this season a failure? Here's the GM of the Nets.
The term failure can be used in a completely different array of circumstances, you know, far more serious than what we just went through. Is it disappointment? Yes, without a doubt. You know, we're going to own it. We're going to grow from it, as Steve mentioned, and, you know, we'll be better because of this, and we'll progress through this, and we'll learn from, you know, the roller coaster ride that was this last season. But, you know, I don't look at this as failure. I think we all grew as people, as individuals, and as a collective unit here, and we're definitely going to come out with the resolve and the resiliency to attack next season and achieve our goals.
He really kind of buttons it up there, but I mean, you were expected to win a championship. You didn't win a championship. To me, this is, and I understand why and what happened and the injuries, but I don't know. I think this is a failed season for Brooklyn.
That's a lovely accent, New Jersey.
I love his accent. I think anything he says, you take more seriously because he says it with that accent.
Are those your skis? Both of them? No, but I mean, here's the thing, though. I mean, all the things that we talked about that could eventually become a problem for Brooklyn, in the end, were kind of the reason why they're out in the second round. It was, and there were freak injuries. I get it. Like Kyrie stepping on Giannis's foot, that's a freak injury. But he's had his history is he's been injury prone. Right, I mean, Harden was the one guy that you would point to and say, "No, he's been good. Like he'll be fine. He's the guy that you can rely on." And unfortunately, you know, his hamstring goes, and we find out afterwards that it's a grade two, and he should have missed, you know, way more time and everything else. But I mean, this team was built around those three guys, and when you only had one and a half of them, and you refused to play your bench, like for some reason, like we're not going to take Joe Harris out, even though he can't make a shot. And then, like the other thing was, you know, Steve Nash being in his first year as a head coach. Like, was he ready for it, especially in the postseason? And you guys, we kind of touched on it yesterday. Like, you could tell in overtime that Kevin Durant was gassed.
Oh, he had nothing left in overtime.
He had nothing. Yep. So in that moment, like, I mean, why not take a timeout?
Like, I still don't understand that, man. I said that yesterday. I don't understand why not take a timeout. I get that you give the defense an opportunity to get set. But Kevin Durant was gassed. He played every single minute of that game. Why not try to get a set play where he gets an easier look at the basket, maybe something in the mid-range, I don't know. But if for no other reason, at least you give him a minute or two just to catch his breath, just to gear up for that final possession. It doesn't make sense not to take a timeout under those circumstances. But that's another one of those things, like you're saying, Rico, you got to chalk up to inexperience because this is Steve Nash's first rodeo.
But, I mean, going into the season, they had to – I mean, he can say what he wants. It's not a disappointment for a bunch of different reasons, and injury obviously being the one.
Well,
the one
I think he even admitted it was a disappointment. I think he said it wasn't a failure.
No, but I think what makes it a failure is that – and we talked about this yesterday – is when you look at the landscape of the NBA, the fact that, you know, all of a sudden Philly lost, so you don't have to go through Philly. You know, it's an upstart Atlanta team that you feel like you would – even with James Harden.
You had the best player by far left
easy.
In the playoffs. By far.
And then who knows what happens when you get to the NBA Finals. It could be Phoenix. You know what I mean? This was this wasn't you going up against, you know, LeBron James and Anthony Davis.
This was not a daunting road to an NBA championship. This was that was your toughest obstacle. If you get by them, you should beat Atlanta, and you probably get healthier as the postseason progresses along, and you should win a championship.
You see who the odds on favorite is right now to win the NBA title?
I did not, but let me guess. Let me guess. I will say, I'm going to say it's Milwaukee.
Do you have any guesses as to the exact odds?
I'm going to say they're plus 230.
Okay. Rico?
I'll say plus 175.
Milwaukee Bucks plus 100.
Ooh. They're even money.
Plus 100, yep.
Wow. Followed by Phoenix?
Phoenix plus 140. Clippers plus 800. Hawks plus 1100.
You know, they get zero respect.
The Hawks?
None.
Yeah.
I mean, plus 1,100?
They just keep winning. That's all they do. They just keep winning games. I don't know.
Oh, you got Herter going for what he – I mean, he steps up big for you. Trae Young is in his first playoff run, his first playoff experience, I mean, he stepped up, man.
He's been phenomenal.
And even games, I mean, he didn't even shoot well, but I mean, he finds a way.
Like that fourth quarter in game seven, like after being abysmal in the first three quarters, guy balls.
Was he like 1 of 16 at one point?
Yep. And I think he was like 3 of 7 in the fourth quarter. But I mean, just Dave, just in terms of his playmaking in that quarter, it's just, I mean, he's a star. And I think that he's finally kind of gotten on that national stage and people actually get a chance to look at him and see how he impacts the game. I mean, Trae Young is phenomenal. Now, it still doesn't justify the Atlanta Hawks trading Luka Doncic for him, but, I mean, that trade isn't as bad.
No.
It doesn't look as bad as it did a year ago.
That at the time and through last season and the postseason, you looked at it, you said, this is going to go down as one of the worst trades in the history of the NBA. And now you look at it and you're like, well, I don't know. It's not that awful of a trade at the moment.
No, and the Atlanta Hawks are still playing. So.
Yeah, and I mean, Dallas is a complete nightmare right now. Looks like they're going to trade KP. Coach isn't coming back.
Nope.
Fire to the GM. And Luka's not happy. I give Trae Young a ton of credit, too, because, I mean, he's definitely cleaned up his game. I don't know if that's if you want to credit Nate McMillan or if it was Lord Pierce that did it, but.
The Hawks, when they were coached by Lord Pierce.
Like his playmaking, I mean, Chris, you brought it up, and his playmaking, like once he gets in the paint, we saw it in the Knicks series. Once he gets in the paint, he's deadly.
And they put the perfect team around him for his skill set, didn't they, Rico?
Guys that can shoot.
Like
yep.
He's surrounded by shooters. Then he's got some guys down low that do some grunt work, Clint Capella, John Collins. Like it just, like they did a really good job of filling in the supporting cast to highlight what he does really, really well. I just didn't think that he was going to be able to have this kind of success his first foray into the postseason.
I never thought he would have success like this, to be honest with you. Now, RJ, who gives us the rundown every day, and sometimes it's right and sometimes it's not, has an interesting little question on the rundown. And I first thought, I was like, come on, this is ridiculous. And the more you think about it, maybe the more you're swayed to the other side. Who's set up for better success in the future? In the long-term future, the Knicks or the Nets? Long-term future, better success.
That's
Knicks
a terrible question.
Or the Nets.
That's an awful question.
Well, don't beat me up for it.
I just expect better for RJ. I mean, what long term, like next 2 years? What are we talking about?
He probably means the next 5 to 7 years, I would think.
We even project that far out when it comes to NBA?
If they extend those three, I mean, you're talking about the next how many years with those three? The next 3 years, the next 5 years?
Yep.
The Brooklyn Nets with those three can win a championship any of those years.
Yes.
The Knicks aren't even close to that.
I don't see how the answer could be the Knicks. And he starts getting to, you know, luxury tax and draft capital and all sorts of stuff in his rundown. But, I mean, talent-wise, the Nets are 50 times more talented than the Knicks are right now.
Yeah, if you can get them all to play together, if they can all stay healthy enough. And we know this. I mean, when you start talking about high-level sports, as you get older, you typically don't get healthier. So you're hoping that they can get that cleaned up. It's not as much of a problem next year as it was this year, but there's no guarantee with that as these guys get older. I mean, so that would be the one concern that you have, and the Brooklyn Nets have gone all in with these dudes. Like, because it took you so many resources to be able to get James Harden, and because these guys are going to command top dollar when it comes to contract extensions. Like, you're not going to have a lot of room, a lot of pathways to be able to add additional talent on this team. Now, you're going to have to hope, keep your fingers crossed, that there are some veteran players that want to ring chase and come play alongside the big three. But, I mean, again, health is going to continue to be a huge question mark for this squad. I mean, you heard Sean Marks talk about it yesterday. Like, it just seems like he said, you know, we're committed to these guys when they're healthy. And it's just kind of one of those, you know, things that's hanging over the franchise. And that will be the question with the big three in Brooklyn until they win a championship. Can these guys stay healthy enough to be able to get it done?
See, I think a lot of what happened to James Harden was what happened at the beginning of the season.
Sure.
What, just showing up out of shape?
Well, yeah. I mean, that's not what he does. I mean, the guy loves – I mean, he just agreed to go play in the – like, he committed to the Olympic team. Like, he's going – he loves to play basketball. And, you know, he decided he wanted out of Houston so bad that, you know, all the offseason stuff and everything else didn't matter. Like, he was going to show up out of shape. He was going to alienate his teammates. And then he – I mean, that's – and then I joked about it yesterday, but I believe in it. I mean, there's something to be said about, you know, sports karma. And I made the mistake yesterday, but the guy hasn't been hurt. So I don't necessarily worry about him. And I thought the biggest question for the season was answered with Kevin Durant. Like, what kind of player would he be after the Achilles?
Yep, I don't think you have to worry about Durant at all. That has been completely put to rest.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg podcast.
You're absolutely right.
Catch the show on demand wherever and whenever you want. Just subscribe to us, rate us, and review us wherever you get your podcasts.
He's done it again.
Yeah, I saw it, Dave.
Chris?
I saw it, and I don't understand why I got to catch a stray on Tuesday morning. I thought Rick and I were simpatico. I thought we saw eye to eye, and apparently I was wrong.
Nope. He's
not that guy.
Don't you see he's a narcissist? All he cares about is himself. He is incapable of having feelings for anyone else. You are his new profile pic now. He's gone to the depths, to the depths of depravity. What is the matter with you? He now has DeSean Jackson's punt return with his face on DeSean Jackson and my face chasing him behind in a Giants jersey.
It's disgusting, Dave. It's disgusting.
What the hell is wrong with you?
Well, what happened? He doesn't make that tackle? You don't make that tackle?
Chris, at the moment, who are you thinking about rooting for in the future in hockey?
Dave, I got to say, I'm leaning toward the Rangers.
Yeah.
I'm leaning toward staying home. Yeah. He's pushing
Rick,
me that way.
You see, you're pushing Chris away from Rangers, from Islanders fandom, based on what you're doing.
No, that's fine. I mean, you guys have teamed up against me for the last month. That's fine. You guys
Nobody's teamed up against you. I've been sitting back with my popcorn watching you and Dave go at it. And for some reason, today had to be today, of all days, that I got to catch a stray and you got to throw that play as your new profile pick? Come on, man. We're supposed to be better than that. We're the two athletes on the show. You're taking a shot at your boy. Come on, man.
Oh, I cut your head out, too. I didn't put it on the... I had the respect not to put it on the photo as well.
Oh, wow. What a gentleman you are.
That's great.
I think I do him a solid. It just so happened that when I asked you the question, worst loss, you actually said that play, which fit perfectly into...
So you were already... And by the way, there's zero chance that was you.
No, I did that one.
Oh, stop it.
I'm telling you right now, I did that one, yeah.
So a week ago, you couldn't even get onto Twitter, and now you're cropping heads onto DeSean Jackson's body? No way!
Yes, this is your own fault, though. You unleashed this. You challenged me, and now I figured out how to do it, and now it's... I got too much free time, I'm telling you right now. Show ends at 8. Start thinking of things to do.
Start teaching like a master class in profile pics. Open up a business. I'll change your profile pic for you.
I actually said to RJ before I posted it, I'm like, especially after you said that was the play that hurt you the most.
Mm-hmm. It was bad.
Which I didn't know you were going to answer that like that. I had that. This was already done. And the second you answered that, RJ's like, it's great when a plan comes together.
But RJ was in on this too?
No. He was not in on it. But I said to him, watch, he's going to be more upset about this picture than he would be of the one with him in the bikini.
Absolutely.
The Giants.
Absolutely. Well, this hits home. This is, I mean, you're taking one of my darkest days and mocking it and throwing it out there for the world to see.
Yeah, but you're a Giant. I mean, I thought you would like that.
No, not on such an awful play. No, you know what? Forget about you. I'm so done. And you know what's going to happen now? and Islanders Nation should be furious with you. This is the worst karma you could put out there. The Islanders have no chance. They have no chance to win the series now with you doing this kind of stuff.
We like being the underdog. Don't sleep on the Islanders now coming into Game 6. Don't do it.
Okay. I'm just telling you. Wouldn't it be apropos, Chris, if the Islanders got shut out again?
Yes, it would be, Dave.
The second he started doing this crap, all of a sudden they can't score a goal.
Yeah, Dave, you know what? I'm this short of rooting for that to happen. Like, yeah. I'm right there. Like, I don't want to do it because I know there are a lot of Islanders fans out there that are friends of the show, and I don't want them to suffer because of what Rico did, but I'm right there in terms of wanting to root against the Islanders actively because of what Rick is doing to us. Like, it's completely uncalled for, Dave. Completely uncalled for.
Rick, how do you answer this?
Dave in a swimsuit with a thermometer and a banana hammock.
Funny.
Okay, that's fine.
That's
whatever.
Comical. That's
when
funny.
When you start digging at our painful sports memories, like, you take it to a level that just, I don't know, man. It's hurtful.
It's unnecessary and it's hurtful.
Yes.
And it's bad guy tendencies is what it is.
That's exactly it.
I don't know what you want me to tell you. I mean, this is where we're at.
Oh, what okay. I want you to say is I was wrong. I'll take it down.
Take it down.
It's absolutely inappropriate.
Take it down.
And I shouldn't have done that to my guys because I'm being a bad teammate. That's what I want from you right
take
now.
Take it down.
Anything less than that, and we ain't friends no more.
If this is how wrong feels, I don't want to be right.
Wow.
He doesn't care. He doesn't
all
care
right, let's air all our all dirty right, laundry. Let's
there
go. Here we go.
Gloves are off.
Here we go. Here we go. Are you ready for this? Are you ready for
this? Do you
want
to go to war? Come on. Do you want to
let's
go to war?
Let's drop the gloves.
Okay?
Let's go. Like Frank Clark. You want an Uzi? Here's an Uzi.
Woo!
All right. One of our dear members of the show is getting married in August, and we're all very excited by that. Did you know that that same person had a huge engagement party this weekend that none of us, I believe, were invited to? And to make matters worse, none of us were even privy was happening on Sunday. He didn't even, on Monday morning, when we go through the how was your weekend, guys, he didn't even make mention of the big engagement party. So, RJ, I'm calling you out here tremendously. What's going on?
Well, you teased it, you built up to it, and now, unfortunately, you're going to feel like a bad guy.
No, I'm not.
That was a bridal shower, Dave.
Bridal shower, fine. There was I saw many mustachioed men at the, quote, bridal shower.
So I was there.
You were there with many men with facial hair. So I don't want to hear that was just a pure bridal shower. And this man is marrying you? And you didn't even let us know this was happening? Terrible job.
That was a bridal shower. Are you crushed? You were not invited to the bridal shower.
Yeah. You know what? If there was all women, was it all women?
I'd say it was about a 90-95 to 5 ratio.
I saw you had friends there.
No, I didn't. I did not.
Well, there goes that, Dave.
I mean, friends that are Angie's family who are my friends. The men there were her immediate family.
Were there men there?
Yes, there were.
There were men. And to take it a step further, I didn't even know it took place. The man that's marrying you, Rick DiPietro. Rick, did you know it was happening?
I did, yeah.
No, you did not.
Yeah, RJ, let me know. Bridal, he said bridal shower. Don't worry about it. You don't have to be there.
Stop okay? it. You should have been there. You should have met the family. You should have been taking notes. You should have been learning about the nuances of these people so you could throw it out there.
No, I'm not doing a stand-up routine. I mean, RJ and myself and Ange, we get together on Zoom calls. We start, you know, going over what we want to do.
I'm disgusted. Disgusted by this.
Well, I'm sorry I hurt you. I will include you on everything.
Forget it. Now, did you have to have a QR code to get into the quote, bridal shower, which was really an engagement party?
You did. You did have to have a QR code. And I'll tell you what, Ange has a bachelorette coming up. I'll get you looped in on that information so you can pop in on that. I'll get you in on everything.
Dave might be the featured act for the bachelorette party.
With the
swimsuit pick that's now floating out there.
Yeah, budgets are tight. We are starting to pay off some of the vendors.
Well, what's he going to do, lactate on people?
We have to cut some corners.
He can show them his thermometer trick.
Watch me swallow this thermometer.
Not a trick. It's a way of life, all right?
I am thermometer boy right now.
Won't you choke? Nope.
I'll make this thermometer disappear before
your
rear
end. My name is Dave, and I had my temperature taken rectally as a child.
Now I have fractured glass in my rear.
Who wants to play ping pong?
You're all buried in the story. And I see what RJ has done, and he's deflected like DiPietro, and it's disgusting. You had a huge key life moment this weekend, and you told none of us about it.
I would punch you right in the nose.
If you want to walk away with, oh, it was just a bridal shower, that's fine. That's fine. It was a huge life moment that until I saw on Facebook, I knew nothing about.
I think I'm a bad guy.
When we go through the charades of how was your weekend, I think I'm done with that, by the way. I think I'm done with it. Don't ask me on Monday mornings, Dave, how was your weekend? Because I don't want to tell you because you clearly don't
trust
any of us on the show.
The David Copperfield of thermometers. Now you see it. Now you don't.
I am thermometer boy right now.
You don't.
Why are
Take
you deflecting
it.
Here?
Take it.
Why?
And for my next trick.
Oh, my God.
It was a bridal shower. People?
Doesn't matter. You should know about it. I should know about it. If not to be invited, we should at least know that it's
Would you go to therapy with me?
Why would you be invited to a bridal shower?
I at least should have known it took place.
Why?
Because that's the kind of friendship and insight that we have into each other's lives. But clearly we don't.
Yeah, I don't think I needed to know that there was a bridal shower going on.
All right, forget. You know what? I'm not telling you guys anything anymore. No. I'm coming on. Pure sports talk. No fun. No hijinks. No games. No what's
Here
going on
go.
In my life.
Like that kind of party.
Playing the
None
world's
of it.
Smallest violin. Dave,
None
just,
of it.
Just when we were about to tag team on Rick, Dave, you go out and you try to do something like attack RJ for not inviting you to the bridal shower?
No. Inviting is secondary. I should have knowledge that this took place.
It keeps me from wanting to have your back. You can't do that. You're just attacking RJ for the sake of doing it.
So when this goes down, when we log on to the Zoom yesterday, and he says, Dave, how was your weekend? And I tell him about, baseball and Alex had a lacrosse tournament and Father's Day and all of it. And I say, RJ, how was your weekend? And he's just like, oh, it was good. That's okay.
That's fine, Dave.
No.
That's fine.
It's no.
That's fine, Dave.
No. No.
Okay. Now, I don't think RJ wanted to be at the bridal shower.
Oh, you should have seen
exactly.
how happy he was.
Oh, he's putting on a smile. He's fully invested in putting on the happy. That's what he has to do, though. That's what he has to do.
Yeah, like that's checking a box for RJ.
I think Chris's fiance just found her wedding dress. Are you upset you weren't invited to that?
To finding the wedding dress?
Yeah.
You know what? You know why you're a disgusting guy, RJ? Because Chris told us yesterday on the air they found the wedding dress. They went out to celebrate after. I didn't need to go, but I feel better for knowing that it happened, and I feel closer to Chris because of it. If you're trying to drive a wedge on the show, you're doing a great job right now.
Well, Chris is a great guy. I agree. You should feel closer to him.
I do.
I'm not. I'm a bad guy.
I'd be more concerned about this bachelorette party after what happened at his buddy's bachelor
party. They're going to watch soccer.
Oh, yeah.
The Euros. Yeah, the Euros.
It could be some retribution.
They're going to watch Brazil and the Euros is what they're going to do.
Is Peter Rosenberg on the color?
Yeah, they'll be watching some Brazilians dance is what they would be doing.
I don't know. I don't know what to believe anymore. 800-919-3776. Rick, are you hosting CMT? Because clearly it's too much for RJ.
Yeah, I'm hosting CMT.
Okay, great.
You ask me that every single time. We run it up the pole
every
single week.
Why not? Because it bothers you.
It does.
Exactly.
And I'm Andrew, who would you say is the best Brazilian available I could find in the Euros?
Brazil is a South American country, so they're not playing in the Euros.
I feel like Andrew's like an encyclopedia. Brazil is a South American country. He's like Alexa. Where can I find Brazil in the Euros? Brazil is a South American country that would not be participating in the Euros.
He's got the soccer podcast, Dave.
Well, just he's so matter of fact,
I felt terrible for him yesterday. I talked to him. I went on the K. I was talking to him before the my hit on the K show.
How heartbroken was he?
He's devastated. He's done with Simmons. They need to aggressively look to trade him.
There's no way Simmons is going back in that locker room, right, guys? Like, there's no chance.
No.
Not after what Joel Embiid said and the rift that's been there with Doc Rivers. There's no way he can be a part of that team moving forward.
None. Zero.
No. How about you? I was listening to one of our shows that you'll have. It's supposed to be Bart and Han, but it was Bart and Carlin.
Mm.
And they had Wendy on. And Wendy actually said, and it turns out he's not playing in the Olympics. I guess he's going to stay back. And
who? Wendy's not going to play?
Wendy was thinking about it, yeah.
Yeah.
interpretive dance, I think he was going to do.
Right.
Wow.
Wow. No, but so he was making the point that it was important for Ben Simmons because he just assumed that he was going to play for the Australian team in the Olympics to go out and, because Australia is good, like to go out and perform well, right? Like just to prove to people that, you know, this was just a blip, this playoff thing. So he's not going now. But he actually made the point that speaking to people around the NBA, they feel like that Ben Simmons could be best served as a new age center as opposed to a point guard.
That's ridiculous.
That's what he said.
How in the world is Ben Simmons going to guard centers down on the low block?
I mean, which centers can he guard 1-5 anyway? I mean, which, you don't think he could?
No.
I mean, how many guys have intimidating big-time centers that he has to worry
about? Exactly. That's what I was about to say. How many teams are going to play a center 35, 40 minutes a night? That doesn't really happen anymore.
And with his ability to pass, that's where he scores. I mean, with his ability to pass.
He can't score at all.
But he can score from there. I mean, he plays like a center.
You put him at the dunker spot.
You treat him like Shaq. You just foul. You wrap him up and put him at the free throw line. He shoots 30%. I don't know. I got to move on from that guy if I'm Philadelphia.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg podcast.
I don't wake up at 4 a.m. to wear a swim shirt.
Looking for more access to the show? Follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at DCR on ESPN.
Eddie in the car. He still feels really confident for some reason about the Islanders. Good morning, Eddie.
Good morning. I have I heard you guys were talking about the Islanders and Jacob DeGrom a little bit earlier, and I have two little comments I'd like to make about that. Listen, we see it all the time in the playoffs that teams get the breaks beaten off of them and they come back. I understand the Lightning is a better team, but that doesn't mean the Islanders can't come back and still win the championship. So, you know, I see that happen all the time. So, you know, I think the Islanders come back. And as far as Jacob DeGrom, I think, like, when you're pitching at that level and you're pitching, like, it's already, like, you're doing something that's not normal in your arm. So you're not going to be comfortable. You're always going to be, like, hurting. I think you just got to, you know, that's what's going to happen with him, you know. So that's what I
Yeah, but Eddie, I think there's a big difference. But Eddie, and I appreciate your positivity with the Islanders. I feel the same way. The concern is, and you're right, I mean, what he's doing is we haven't seen it from a starting pitcher, that kind of velocity. But it's I don't necessarily think it's like, okay, you know, you're not going to feel great, so just pitch through it. Like, we don't want to see him blow his shoulder out or blow his, you know, he's had Tommy John, but I mean, that with how he's throwing, like, how long does that last? Like, that would be the last thing in my mind you want to see.
Oh,
That would suck the life out of that. I mean, for the next 2 years, it would have sucked the life right out of being a Mets fan. Gone. If, God forbid, something like that happened.
It would be awful. I mean, this season would be over.
And I'm sure that's part of, I mean, the concern in his mind is, like, when he feels something, it's like, I mean, is this something I should be pitching through? Like, well, why not?
You know? Yeah, but Rico, at the same time, he is at the height of his powers, though, man. And as an athlete, you know how that feels. Like, when you know that you're better than everybody else right now in this time and space. Like, you just want to be able to go out there and prove it over and over and over again. Like, they showed the graphic in yesterday's game, according to StatCast, with the three pitches, with his fastball, with his slider, and with his changeup. They were talking about the Major League Baseball ranks for pitchers with opposing teams' OPS, and Jacob DeGrom was first with fastballs, second with his slider, and second with his changeup. Like, that's just three elite-level pitches. Nobody can touch him right now.
Well, no. I mean, no one has. I mean, that's rarefied air. Like, very rarely do you have a pitcher that has three, like, two maybe. The three elite pitches is, no. I mean, especially when you
can't touch
fastball.
Him.
Well, no. I mean, just think about that. You got a guy who can throw 101 miles an hour wherever he wants it, and then you got a slider that's filthy that goes one way, and then you got a changeup that goes the other. Like, I mean, what do you – I mean, you saw the changeup yesterday, and they all look like the same pitch coming out of his hand. Forget it.
Yep. He
struck out – here's the craziest thing is he has struck out 47% of the hitters he's faced.
That's insane.
That really is
half the batters he faces struck out.
I mentioned it to the guys. Do you know what his hits per nine innings is right now this year?
I mean, it has to be
–
Hits per nine innings.
Oh, it's got to be less. It's got to be less than one hit an inning.
Okay, so what do you think?
Hits per nine inning.
I don't know. I know his whip is like ridiculous.
Can you talk into the actual microphone?
Yeah.
Well, no, I was talking to myself.
Right, like in another room.
I don't have the cough button. I know his whip is stupid low.
Yeah, his whip is like 0.5, right?
Yeah, his whip is 0.5. I think ERA and whip are right there.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know what the hits is, Dave.
Well, what do you think? Let's take a guess. We'll see who's closer.
I don't know. 0.25?
No, come on. A quarter of a hit per nine innings?
I don't know.
You guys are terrible.
Yeah, I couldn't even.
I have nowhere to go with that, Dave. I don't know.
Three. A little higher than three.
So for just every over three hits per nine innings?
For every nine innings pitched on average, he's allowing a little more than three hits.
Wow.
Did you see his numbers? I mean, they did a graphic yesterday after the game. Did you see his numbers in comparison to every other pitcher in Major League Baseball? Like what the average, like league averages in Major League Baseball?
No. What I mean, he must dwarf everything, dude. Right?
I mean, so he's got a 0.5 ERA.
We're halfway through the season.
Yeah, the next closest is Kevin Gausman at 1.51.
So the next closest is three times the ERA of what DeGrom is.
Yeah, it's a whole run more than DeGrom. The league average ERA, so that's the second best. The league average is 4.12. He's at 0.5. The league average whip is 1.28. He's at 0.51. And the league average for strikeouts per nine innings is 9.2, and he's
at 15. Yeah,
14.6.
15. It's crazy.
He is absolutely unbelievable. Islanders fans, listen up. The Isles are home against the Tampa Bay Lightning for Game 6, and 98.7 ESPN has your chance to be there. Be listening in the 7 a.m. hour today to score two tickets to Wednesday's Game 6, all brought to you by Coors Light, made to chill. Who's doing CMT today, by the way?
You want to run up the poll?
Yeah, let's run up the poll. RJ, who's doing CMT?
That would be Rick.
Okay, great. All guests on DCRP are via the Goodyear hotline, by the way. And Progressive's Home Quote Explorer gives you multiple quote options so you can pick what's right for you. See for yourself at progressive.com. Why don't we go ahead with a little CMT?
To cuddle.
Tell you what, Rico, I can chase him down. I'll hold him down for you.
To marry.
I don't want to give up the meat.
Or to trash.
I think I'm emotionally broken.
That is the question.
All right, fellas, here we go. A little Tuesday edition of CMT, Cuddle, Marry, Trash. For those new to the program, that's how this game works, is I give you three options. You have to cuddle one, which is the one you're kind of like not so sure about. Marry the one that you love the most, and then obviously trash the one that you hate. So let's start with this. Matt
I
Barzell,
love the explanation, by the way. For those new, very, very well done by you.
New listeners every 15 minutes.
No,
correct?
I love it. We should do that whenever we do like a one of our featured segments. We kind of explain it now. Very well done.
All right. Here we go. So Matt Barzell had the 5-minute major and game misconduct for his cross check last night. Everyone's concerned. I'm concerned. What's his availability for today? I'll ask you guys. Matt Barzell, does he get suspended for game 6? Does he just get a fine or does he get nothing? Dave, you go first.
Oh, okay. I would say I'm going to trash nothing. Mm-hmm. There's no way he's going to get nothing. None. So I will say zero chance he gets nothing. I'm gonna cuddle suspended because I'm not sure that he's going to get a game or two suspension. I think he might get off with just a fine, which I will marry and confidently marry that he's going to get fined by the NHL.
Yeah, I concur. I don't think the NHL is going to take him off of the ice for game 6. It's an elimination situation for them. So I think he plays, but he does get fined for that.
All right, here we go. See, this is nice. You guys go nice and quick, concise.
Although
the
more you poke the bear, DiPietro, the better chance he gets suspended for game 6.
Yeah, I'm done poking the bear for now.
Mm-hmm.
Although there may be some new material for tomorrow. Here we go. Next one up. So we had mentioned Trae Young earlier in the show. So I'm going to give you the option. Players left in the NBA playoffs, that if you could have one of them for whatever team you root for, us the Knicks, Chris, you the Lakers, which one would you pick? Devin Booker, Giannis, and I got into a situation here because there was two I was going to go with, but there was one that if I put him, I think you guys all would have trashed him. The third one I'm going to give you is Trae Young. So you got Booker, Giannis, Trae Young.
Who are you choosing between for that one, Trae Young or who?
Pandemic P.
Uh-huh.
He's been really good, but yeah,
he has been.
Trashed him.
He has been. Okay, this is easy for me. I am going to marry Devin Booker. I mean, you heard Stephen A. Smith yesterday on his show. He thinks Devin Booker is the second coming of the Black Mamba. So, I mean, The guy is a lights-out shooter from deep, but his mid-range game is deadly, too. I mean, he showed it in Game 1, Western Conference Finals. There ain't nothing that Devin Booker can't do. So I'm going to marry him. I will cuddle Trae Young.
Aww.
I'd love to have somebody that can...
You're going to trash Giannis?
I'm going to trash Giannis, Dave. I mean, listen, I root for the Lakers. I need somebody that can shoot. That's what I need. I mean, I already got Giannis. It's Anthony Davis. And Anthony Davis is a better shooter.
Yeah. No, it's true.
Yeah. So, yeah, I'm going to trash Giannis.
Now, I'm supposed to do this with just overall guys that I want on any team, or it's supposed to specifically be to my Knicks?
I'm going to put it, because I posed the question that way, who you would specifically want for your Knicks?
Okay, I'm going to agree with Chris, and I'm going to go Devin Booker to marry. I can't trash Giannis. I'm gonna cuddle Giannis, and I will trash Trae Young.
Wow,
yeah,
the point guard that you need, the point guard that you want.
Right.
Although he would, I mean, of the three, Trae would probably fit in the garbage better than the other two.
Really? Stop.
Well, he's smaller.
Stop.
I'm just saying. He's
you see
smaller.
What he'll do?
Stop it.
No one is outside of him taking shots at. No one.
Well, I mean, don't you feel better about that? I don't just pick on you. It's everybody. All right, here we go. I was thinking about this question last week. I'll pose it to you guys today. So you had Trevor Lawrence with the first overall pick. You had Zach Wilson with the second overall pick. But because you didn't have the first overall pick, there was some question as who did you like the most? They obviously fell in love with Zach Wilson. So I'll ask you guys this. The quarterbacks, the three drafted after Zach Wilson, if you were a Jets fan, who would you be most concerned about? And what I mean by that is, like, that will actually have...
That will show you up?
Yeah, that will have you concerned, like, oh, did we make the wrong decision?
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to give you Lance, Fields, Jones.
Dave?
Fields, Jones. All right, I'm going to... I'm going to marry Fields. I'm going to cuddle Trey Lance. I don't know. I'm not sure how to feel about Jones. So he's the wild card. I will trash him in this scenario.
Okay, Dave and I agree on the trash. We disagree on the matrimony, though. I am going to marry Trey Lance. And we can start by saying that Trey Lance, out of all of these quarterbacks, is probably going to the team that has the best supporting cast for him to step into. He's also got Kyle Shanahan as his play caller. And I got to think that smokescreen that the 49ers ran in the pre-draft process was probably because they felt like Trey Lance was the second best quarterback that was available in this draft. So I'm going to marry Trey Lance, and I will cuddle Justin Fields.
All right, here we go, boys. Moving along. The New York Islanders will win this series in 7, will lose in 6, or will lose in 7?
Win in 7, lose in 6, lose in 7.
Well, I mean, based on what you did this morning, Rico, I've got to say I'm going to marry them losing in 7.
Ugh.
Because I want the heart ripped out of you. Kind of like how I felt when DeSean Jackson housed that punt at the end of that game in 2010. Yeah, I want the heart ripped out of you. So I want them to lose in the most heartbreaking fashion that's possible. Double overtime, game 7, and they spit the bit. So, yeah, I want them to lose in 7. I'm going to marry that. I'm going to cuddle them losing in 6, and I'm going to trash them winning in 7.
You see what you've done?
Yeah, but I'm already dead inside. I mean, that doesn't bother me.
Yeah, but Chris was like your biggest ally, and now look what you've done.
But he turned his back.
I mean, on you now.
He started.
When did I turn my back? When did that happen?
I took him Islanders Devils, had him on the glass. And then all of a sudden, he falls in love with David Quinn. And
he loved David Quinn.
That's your guy.
Not like Barry Trotz comes on the show.
You said David Quinn is going to be a part of the show. You gave me permission to like Quinny. How are you going to blame me for then rooting for his team?
You can't help it. The heart wanted it.
Yeah, but I gave you a hall pass for, like, it was more sexual, I thought, than it was emotional. You get emotionally attached to him.
You know, that oxytocin or whatever that thing is, man, it's chemical.
See, I should have never done it.
I'm going to trash Islanders win in 7.
You're disgusting.
What do you mean I'm disgusting?
You disgust me.
Okay, what would you do right now?
Islanders win in 7, baby.
Oh, stop it. You know what? You're not being fair to yourself or the listening audience. I will trash Islanders win in 7. I'm torn here. I am. I'm going to cuddle Islanders lose in seven. And in front of chanting fans at the Collie, I will marry and invite all of you and let you know about it in advance. The Islanders losing in six.
Bitter memory, huh, Dave?
Yeah.
All right, here we go. Last one. If you could be one of these New York athletes right now, in this moment, right now, today, would you want to be Jacob DeGrom, Kevin Durant, or Aaron Judge?
Who goes here?
You go, Dave.
All right. I'm going to marry Jacob DeGrom.
Nice.
Well, I mean, he is at a level special. We've never seen before.
He's special.
He's at a level we've never seen before. I'm going to, and the next two are just silly. I'm gonna cuddle Kevin Durant, and I will trash Aaron Judge. Although I will tell you, of all three guys you just gave me, injury concern. But I'm going DeGrom, Durant, and Judge in that order.
Interesting. All right.
Yeah, I'm starting to question the question because I don't know that there's any other way you can answer it. I'm going to agree across the board with Dave. Marry DeGrom, cuddle Durant, and trash Aaron Judge.
Well, I mean, here's the thing, though. I mean, ask the question because, I mean, there could be a piece of you that's a huge Yankees fan that wants to be a Yankee.
Yeah, that's true.
As opposed to be a Brooklyn Net.
Yeah, that's true. But that doesn't stop me from being objective about it when
you've
we start talking
Chris,
about star status.
Is what's happening.
I've lost Chris.
You've lost Chris.
Well, now, let me ask you a question, Dave. If I would have said DeGrom, Durant, or Daniel Jones.
No, I still would have gone. I would have trashed Jones.
You don't want to be the quarterback of the New York Giants?
Well, I'd like to, but not. Yes, I would. Of course, I'd like to, but not as compared to the greatest player in all of baseball now.
Fair point.
You could be the quarterback of your favorite team. Could you imagine?
I get it, but I can be the greatest player in all of sports now also.
But you would trash him, you said. You wouldn't even cuddle him. You just trashed your quarterback. Well, this is like, I don't have to write letters to the owner. I could just walk up to the suite and say, hey, what's up?
Yeah, but I might not be good.
Well, we don't know yet. We'll find out.
Right. I might not be good. I'm DeGrom. I'm phenomenal. I'm Durant. I'm sensational. I get burner accounts all over the place. No, that's what I'm doing.
Dave, here's the thing I'm thinking about, though. Even though Jacob DeGrom is the best player in all of baseball, when you start talking about star power from the athletes in this city and compare them to two other guys that Rick threw out there, like, I would probably rank Jacob DeGrom third.
I agree with that. Star power, he probably is third. Dominance.
And look at Aaron Judge's beautiful new teeth. You would want those beautiful new teeth?
No.
Big set of jibs.
Why? Why? Why?
They look,
why?
They look terrific. I'm jealous.
Darren Lee-esque, one might say. Darren Lee-esque. Can't believe you talked about Darren Lee's teeth like that big when he was in studio. Jibs.
You saw those things. Couldn't even look at them.
Look like
your teeth aren't supposed to be that white.
Yeah, you'd be blinded. Absolutely, you would be. You would have had a rougher run for me if you would have given me Saquon Barkley over Daniel Jones.
There's another one with injury concerns, though. And plus, I mean, the longevity of a running back. I gave you quarterback, dude. Quarterback of your favorite team.
We don't know how much longer he is going to be the quarterback of
said
team.
And I might not be quarterback of my favorite team at some point
exactly.
In the not-so-distant future.
Yeah, but just that one opportunity, you got one full season as the quarterback? Come on.
How good would that
with
be?
Those weapons, Dave?
With those weapons? Come on, Dave.
Don't you think the Giants should bring me on staff or something?
I do. They brought Eli Manning back, Dave. I feel like they should put you in an office right next door to him.
I would represent the organization so
yeah,
well.
No. I don't think they can trust you. You're a wild card. They realized it with Canny. He kept it too real. They got rid of him.
That's when keeping it real goes wrong. 100%. I hope I get invited to the 10-year reunion of the Super Bowl team.
Oh, they have to.
Yeah, I hope so, Dave.
How could they? You were a member of the team.
I know, Dave. I was out there for the freaking coin toss. I get it. I hope I get invited.
Well, last time we checked, I don't see any 99s. We'll move along.
From the University of Houston, Chris Kidd.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg podcast.
I have nothing left.
Hear more of DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg live weekday mornings from 5 to 8 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play ESPN New York 98.7.